right, let's find a place to sit down, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. Let's find a place to sit down. All righty. All right. What are you doing? Come on, come on, come on. Hey, let me repeat something. I'm not sure if it was said. Let me repeat it. If it is a repetition, I'm sorry. Next Saturday, that's the 9th, next Saturday is the Ranger Derby. Registration at 9 o'clock. And if you know a kid that maybe wanted to be able to do this but didn't make a car, Richard Ray, he just sits over here somewhere, Richard Ray. Right over, Richard Ray made this red Batman-style car that he's going to let any kid that wants to, they can drive that, can use that car and be a part of it. So next Saturday, the 9th, 9 a.m. is when registration starts. So come on and be a part of that. And if you know somebody that wants to be a part of this but didn't make a car, my boy Richard Ray right over here has got a Batman car for that kid. So let's be a part of that. All right. Okay, let's move on. Our lead pastor, Steve, has got the upper respiratory infection. How's he doing?
He's better, but he just still tells it's painful.
Painful, dripping, junk, coughing, and things like that. Stay away from the Dean household for the next like 3 or 4 days, please.
I just hugged everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, she just hugged everyone. Well, we really are people who walk by faith, aren't we? That's all good. You know, maybe you'll cut this down. I think I'll get a little feedback behind me, but that's okay. He gave me a call the other day, and he sent me a text message that said, be ready. And yesterday he said, hey, you're on. And, I told him one time ago, it was a long time ago, someone, I think it was Mark, said, hey, can you do this in a couple of days? And he was looking at me, and I just edged him on, Steve. I said, listen, you're a pastor. You can do anything. And so I don't really complain when Steve asked me to do that because I made that comment about him about five or six years ago. But in thinking about this, I was actually, let me tell you what happened. About 10 days ago, I actually started working on the 2019 Christmas play. And you have to be, months and months ahead of the curve to get these things done. And so, I had an idea, bounced it off my wife, ran it by some people in the office. Somebody said, this is pretty good theme you got going there. And so I did what I normally do. I started thinking of characters, and I got my protagonist, the good guys over here, and I got my antagonist, the bad guys over here. And then I had to create chaos. I had to create the situation where this is going to happen, where two groups of people are gonna argue and fuss and fight. And I realized in this whole thing, this is just life. This is just life. On a daily basis, our lives are chaotic and our stories are messy. Our stories are real messy. Anybody tries to tell you different is wrong. Chaos, some of us just thrive in chaos because that's the way our life is. I know that some people say, if it's chaos, that's the work of the devil. We need to cast it out. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 2. The life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. The chaos that happens in our life on a routine basis, it's just life in the flesh. It's just what it is. You can't cast it out because you can't cast your life out of yourself. It's just normal life. Chaos to us, It sort of looks like this, maybe it's a Saturday morning, it could look like this, maybe something like 7 o'clock and the kids start stirring, you have maybe three kids, the kids start stirring, mom and dad get up and you have a plan. Don't you start the days with plans? You start the day with a plan. You have a plan, you're going to do something special today. Something great's going to happen today. We're going to go out and do this as a family. We're going to make this happen. We are the ones who are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We're these guys. We are the creators of family life. We're the ones who defend the family. We're the ones who make the schedules. We're Superman. We're truth, justice, and the American way. We're the protagonists. That's who we are. Then they wake up. And they start moving around. And you're good with your schedule. And let me tell you this, before I tell you anything else, it's not your fault. It's not your fault what happens next. But they wake up. And it's 45 minutes that every toy is taken out. Stuff is just strewn all over the house. Food is all over the floor. And two of them are running around butt naked. You know, it's just, that's what the life is happening. That's the chaos that we have on a regular basis in our house. If it was a weekday, it'd be one of these things. Oh God, I haven't finished making dinner. I have no idea what I want to make for dinner. The house is a wreck. The kids are not behaving. And my husband just walked in the house and he's looking at me with those eyes. You know? I'm not going to respond to that. Amen. It ain't happening. But all my plays have chaos written into them. And it's like normal life. And some of us know people in our lives that are like this. They have these difficult times. There's, you know, it's families in trouble, poverty. It's addictions. It's dysfunction. It's homelessness. It's jealousies. And it's a sneaky Lord licorice. These are things that we've sort of written into those. That was really good. Some of y'all did that. It's great. You remembered. And there he is right there. You know, you can't get a, I told him you're going to be pegged with this for a whole year. You're going to be, people going to look at you and go, but that's okay. But you know, all the TV shows we watch, they're sort of the same way, aren't they? They have this bit of chaos worked into them. Look at this picture up here. Anybody remember the show? Tell me, what show? Lost, the most chaotic thing that's ever been on TV, right? Yeah, absolutely. It was chaos upon chaos, mess upon mess. Protagonists becoming antagonists becoming protagonists, switching back and forth again. It's called Lost because if you missed one episode, you were lost, right? Okay, but you had to stay on top of it. It was just the craziest thing you ever saw. They had a Jesus character, they had a devil character, and it, like all good stories that make you feel good, in the end, it was resolved. And they had a heaven scene at the last part of it. But that's what our life is like. That's where we're coming from. It's messy. Our life is always like that. And here, in our life, almost like a daily basis, it's like, Lord, what's going on? I don't understand this. Why? But the family, the sickness, my child, my school, my job, will it ever be resolved? I don't understand all this. But God says resolution will come. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about embracing the chaos in our life. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being in this place today. God, I thank you, Lord, that it's just crazy, but our lives are chaos and our stories are a mess. But Lord, we thank you that you're in control. We thank you for steering us. We thank you for guiding us. We thank you for revealing truth to us today. In your beautiful Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's go to the Word. I'm reading our primary text. It's going to be out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So let me read this. By the way, Chris Smith just got this a little while ago, and he put this together. Thank you, Chris, so much for doing this. You're great. I'm just going to read verse 7 first. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Now, here's the background. The Corinthian church, this 2 Corinthians, it all depends on who you talk to. There was either 3 or 4 letters written to the Corinthians. Many people believe this is the third letter to the Corinthians, actually. Two of them made the cut and made in the Bible. The other two are probably lost. But in the Corinthian church, they'd had some struggles in 1 Corinthians. They had to be rebuked. They had some people had to be kicked out of the church. It was rough. Things were going very difficult in that church at that time. But the church was growing. The church was doing really good. The gospel was being preached. Jesus' name was being proclaimed. People were coming into the kingdom. The dead was being raised. Lives were being healed. The poor were being fed, and widows were being taken care of. And in the midst of this whole thing, he says, you have a treasure in your jar of clay. In your jar of clay. You have a treasure, but you're nothing but a jar of clay. Now, the Bible gives many noble images about who we are. If you read Ephesians 16, it talks about the armor of God. Actually, he's relating us to a Roman soldier. That's not bad. You know, the Israelites didn't have the type of armament and protection and things like that the Romans did. It's comparing us to a Roman soldier. At some point in place in the Bible, it talks about us running a race. This situation, not so much. It's not a flowery comparison we're getting when we're called a clay pot. Not at all. In today's, it's mundane, it's boring. In today's world, it was probably like a Ziploc bag. It's nothing big, it's not flashy. But it serves a purpose, and this purpose is just to hold something. That's what it's there for. Some people translate it as a cracked pot. Not like a funny, you're a crackpot type of guy, but actually something that's chipped and something that's worn really well. There's a certain humility and a frailness about this. They're cheap. They're simple. A clay pot is good at what it does. Day in and day out with no fanfare, it's holding stuff. Grain, meal, some type of liquid, maybe even a plant. A clay pot is fragile. If they're dropped, they break. Frequently, they're chipped and cracked. And Scripture tells us how when we were created, would God reach down and grab some dust, clay, dirt, and he made us. And this is almost like a reminder. Says, remember where you came from? Remember where you came from? We're fragile. It's imperfect. The variations in color and shape and size and all those things. And even though it's imperfect, it's still used in a great way. You know, if we're going to see our lives as clay pots, you know, we don't want to hold out to be something that's beautiful or hand-painted or a vase. That's not the point of the pot. The point of the pot is to contain something. You know, one of the things that's happened in the past couple years, and I didn't really pay too much attention to it, is this thing called shaming. Have you seen it? Have you heard about it? If you're on a social media at all, there's so much shaming that goes on about what kind of a parent you are, your weight, what kind of clothes you wear, you know, your status, your political status, your financial status, and there's shame heaped on people by that. And it's real. You know, I've looked at just online and seen people responding to it, and it's just so attacking. It's so difficult. I asked one of my daughters. I said, "Is this a real thing?" She said, "Yeah, Dad. This is real. This is hurtful. This is wrong." And what it is in its essence is someone saying, "My pot is more beautiful than your pot." That's what it is. My pot is more beautiful than your pot. Look at this next picture. You see this? It's some French thing. It's got a long name, starts with a D. I don't know what it is. All I know is on Antiques Roadshow, the English version show. I never saw it, and I couldn't find out exactly how much it's worth, but it's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. That's the person who wants to shame other people because they don't understand it's the contents that count. Folks, it just holds a plant. That's it. It just holds a plant. Nothing more, nothing less. A plant. You know, and God does not want you to freak out about how you look on the outside. He wants you to own your frailty. He wants you to own your chaos. This messy, horrible person that we are sometimes, with no apologies whatsoever. You don't have to apologize for being who God created you to be. Right? I don't have to apologize for being bald. Or short. I give her a hard time about that all the time. She kicks me right in the shin. We don't have to apologize. It's just who we are. It's not comparing one pot versus... Look at the next one. This is a Mesopotamian pot. Years and years and years ago. Thousands of years ago, this thing was made. Well-worn. Cracked. Dented. Roughed up. Through the years, it contained so many different things. So many valuable things this thing contained in it. It contained things that helped people to live on a daily life. It's not that beautiful, is it? It's worth more. But guess what? What that thing held inside of it is stuff that helps people to live. People live by what was contained in that one. People don't live on a plant. People can live by the grain that was in that. People can live by the liquid that was in that one. People could live by the meal that was in that one. It's like this. This is us. This is a little plastic bottle, right? I used to work in a molding. I used to work as when I worked for Canon of Virginia. I worked in a factory that did plastic injection molding. We made things like this, you know. Not exactly this one. We made things like this. Something like this, 2 cents maybe to make. Something like this part of the bottle down here, maybe 5, 6, 7 cents, something like that to make. Not much. This little cap right there, maybe a couple cents to make this little, I don't know what that would be costing. But what you see right here, maybe 15, 16 cents. But look what's inside. Look what's inside this thing. You see the values in here. Because the treasure that God has placed treasure inside every one of us. And he wants to see that treasure come forth in everyone's life. You know, you may think your life is mundane. You may think that it's boring. But God wants to do something epic with every one of us by his all-surpassing power that we know it's not of us. And it's not of us. And it doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter who you are, how tall you are. It matters what God placed inside you. He will bring it out of you, and he will bring forth something incredible. Something absolutely incredible we never thought about before. That's what God wants to do with our lives. You know, if you're a person that looks at social media a whole lot, you're going to be slammed. You're going to be shamed. That's out there. You need to get the poison out of your life. Be thinking correctly, because it's what inside, it's the contents that God's going after. That's where God's going after, the content. You know, you may see that what God wants to do inside you is something small, but I'm telling you today, it's monumental. It's absolutely monumental. I can just hear the Lord saying, look at you, you little crackpot. You ain't nothing but a Ziploc bag. But what I've placed in you is something that can change the world. And you can't do this on your own. It's something epic. If there's no possible way for any of us to take credit for it. You know, there in your life could be, because of this, there could be healing, there could be restoration, there could be a new job, there could be a breakthrough, something that you have no control over, but God says, yeah, I'm going to bring it out. It could be something that you've been praying for people in your family. Maybe it's your home with your kids, your husband, finances, a new job or something, and God says, you can't do anything about it, but I can. I can do something about that. Let's go back to parenting for a second. You know, we all know that parenting is 50% getting them fed to getting them to bed, right? That's 50% of the whole thing. Bed, fed, and to bed. Now, my wife, she's excellent at this. She was excellent. We don't have any kids at home anymore, but she was excellent at this. And now with our granddaughter, she does the same thing. She's just really good at this. But when she would leave me, and I had the 3 kids, it's like a reverse hostage situation. I mean, it's just not hell. It wasn't healthy. Now, she said, baby, you did so good. And I'm turning around saying, she's such an encourager, you know. But you know, it'd be like this, you know. I was trying to my kids, I was, oh, come on, I'll give you a car if you just eat your green beans, you know. Come on. I will slip the check underneath your door if you close your eyes. I'm going to cancel the check if you open your eyes again. Here it comes. And then Karen would come home, and what she'd see is 45 minutes worth of work to clean up and 3 loads of laundry. But if she was there doing it, I mean, it's a 5-minute job for her and 1 load of laundry. You know, and it's just, I just have this weakness. My frailty was there. I wasn't too good at that type of stuff whatsoever. But Karen, man, she was a guru with that. But parenting is one of the monumental callings that God has placed on us. It's one of those epic things that God has placed in our life for us to do. And believe it or not, we need to realize we need the all-surpassing power of God to teach kids, to lead kids, to raise kids, and to move our family to a place where God wants us to be. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the arm of God. We need the power of God to move our families forward. It is a monumental task, and it calls for a monumental anointing, and God has given that to us to do. And so we have to do that. It's one of these things where, you know, we're weak and we're frail, and we have this chaos running our life, but he's the one that has the power, and it's going to be chaotic, and we have to realize, let's just embrace the chaos. Let's embrace this thing, because you know what? God knows our chaotic life. Actually, I think we can say it this way. God gave us our chaotic life. This mess we have in our life, God gave that to us that he might receive glory. How do you think it'd be if you woke up in the morning and our mind was set right and the first thing we thought of in the morning is that, look, I got this treasure inside me, and because of this treasure inside me, I get the access to all surpassing power of God, and my family today is going to be moving in the right direction. Things are going to be we're going to be on point today. I don't think that way. I have a tendency myself to think, which is really horrible, I have a tendency myself just to think of the fact that, you know, the chaos that we have is greater than the all-surpassing power of God. We need to get our thinking back. We need to get our thinking right, because unfortunately we think that way many times. Let's move on to 2 Corinthians 4, going to 8 and 9. We're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul isn't trying to get sympathy from the Corinthians here because he has a tough life. He's not trying to show off that he's a macho man and he can take it. What he's saying is that there's an inner part of us where God is, that God's put something in us, and that it's anointed by God. It's a calling by God. It's a monumental thing that God's put in us. And when the pressing comes, and when this crushing comes, I can deal with that. Now, I was in Virginia Tech. My first degree was in food science technology, and that's what helped me for the ministry. And I took a class in fruits, and one farmer came from the hills one day. He said, would you make some apple cider for us? And he gave us, I think he was the one that gave it to us, like a 100-year-old press. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. Had this big barrel underneath it, on stilts. And we cleaned the barrel out, and there was there at the bottom was a plate with holes in it. We put cheesecloth over top of it. Then apples, cheesecloth, plate, apples, cheesecloth, plate, apple, cheesecloth, plate. And then it had a screw into the very top plate, had a screw into it. It had a flywheel on the side, and we started turning the flywheel. And come down, 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 down. And one person could do the flywheel really easy. And all of a sudden, the press began. And it wasn't as easy as it was a few minutes ago. The press began. And it took the press, and it took the pressure generated by the press to bring out and to release the sweetness of the fruit. It took that. And we kept on pushing. We kept on doing it. Then it took, you know, I gave it up after a while. Gave it to another guy. And so the guy was just cranking on. I was a little tiny guy at that time. And this guy gets up there, he's a big old monster, and he starts doing it, and it became more difficult even for him, that press. And some of us today, I'm telling you folks, I know there's some in the room that are hard-pressed. The press brings pressure. You may have had a tough year. You know, Karen got a new job this past year, and our only granddaughter was my son-in-law, and daughter took her off to Singapore. That was tough. That was really, really tough. But you know, I don't know if that's anything compared to what some of the things you guys have gone through. Maybe you moved. Maybe it was a difficult financial year. Maybe you got a new job. Maybe you endured a sickness. But some of you are in the press and you feel the pressure right now. It's building. The pressure, God, I want to be a better dad. Lord, I want to be a better mom. Lord, I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. God, I want to be a better provider. Lord, help us to manage our lives better. Lord, I want to know what you have for me in my life. And the pressure's being turned. It's being turned. And it's being turned until the sweetness is released. Some of us are being turned right now. You feel it. And this is what's happening. This turning is going on. I, last Friday, I don't know who else in the church went to this, I think maybe one or two people. I went to Donuts with Dad over at Forest Elementary School. One of my little kids, his dad couldn't come, and so he just sat with me, and he's just eating donuts and just going at it, you know, having the time of his life, you know? Not paying attention to anything. My other child, who was late, he's a first grader, he was held back, and I've told you about this before. He got sick last April, and he gave the sickness to his father. He survived, and his father passed away. And so this was Donuts with Dad. And he walks in, his mom told me this, he walks in to sign up, and he was saying, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to Donuts with Dad. And that began a process of him just, this happened in his little six-year-old life. And the wheel was starting to be turned in his life. And by the time I got to him, his shoulders were slumped over and he had this really sour face on his life and on his face. And his mom just said, you know what's going on? And I said, okay. And I sat him down next to me. I got him a donut. I got him some juice and he wouldn't eat and he wouldn't drink. And then there's a man that got up and speak. And all this man did was talk dads, dads, dads. And every time he said dad, he sunk deeper and deeper into his chair to where I had to take his arm, lift it up, put mine underneath it and pull him into me. And he just fell back against me. And I sat there and my eyes were just filling with tears. Like, you know, I get real emotional about stuff like this. And I was saying, God, why should a six-year-old boy have to endure this? Why should a six-year-old boy have to endure this? And I've been questioning the Lord about this every day for the past week because I don't understand. And I have questions of why this is going on. Why is this happening? I'm perplexed. Why is this happening? And it wasn't until this morning in prayer that God said, because I created you and several other people to carry this pressure form. So I cried. He shouldn't have to feel like this, but you know what? We're big enough to carry it, aren't we? We're big enough to carry these things for our friends, and we see them in this situation, whether it's their family, whether it's their finances, whether it's the most difficult thing they've ever gone through. We can be there to help with the pressure. Pressure's not good, and pressure's not bad. It's not pressure's fault. What did pressure do? It's like, have I ever been whitewater rafting? Raise your hands, whitewater rafting? Anybody? Yeah, really? Where'd you go? New River, really? Did you fall out? You jumped out. All right, anybody else been? Where'd you go? Upper Gully. Okay, so the gully was running, you went. Did you fall out? Of course you fell out. How'd you feel when you fell out? Totally out of control, right? Yeah, so there's a place you went to? Did you go to the Upper Gully also? Did you fall out? You didn't fall out? That's why you're an elder. See, so you go on the Upper Gully, and they have these, maybe some class four, and sometimes they're running class five rapids. Now, the same water that brings us joy is the same water that can kill you. It's just like pressure. Pressure's neutral. But it doesn't mean we don't feel something. It doesn't mean that there can be some difficulties that take place. The pressure's neutral. James had something to say about this. Jesus' little brother. I was talking to Karen about this last night. He said, isn't that an awkward family dynamic, Jesus' little brother? What do you talk about at the dinner table? I mean, seriously, it's Jesus' little brother, you know? And at some point in time, it was revealed to them, and it's like sitting next to the Messiah. This is weird, you know? I mean, when people come by and say, hey, man, James, where's your brother? I haven't seen him in a while. He's up at Galilee, and okay, what's he doing up there? He's talking to people, you know? We just found out that he is the Messiah. He's got that going for him. You know, and just, you know, what do you say? So it took a while before James and the rest of the family actually came around. They didn't immediately say, oh, here's the Messiah, you know. They took them a while to come around. James says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. Seriously, how hard is this? I mean, this is crazy. Hey, you know, guys, my car just broke down. I had to empty out my savings account to go get it fixed. High five. I mean, this is awkward. This is not normal. We don't do this. We don't say, hey, man, guess what happened to me? Wife and I got in a fight today, and the kids heard it, and just things are chaos in the house. Give me some knuckles. Yeah, we don't respond that way. It's not in us to do that. But the thing is, it says, we know that it works perseverance. That's what Scripture says. We know. You know that it works in you. You know this works perseverance in you, and the goal is maturity, right? So maybe you're dealing with the press night right now, and we've walked through some immense pressure, like several deployments. You know, when I was putting this together, I started thinking of you guys that have been in the military. I just don't know how you guys do it. Several deployments, 6 months to 12 months away, maybe at a time. Gary, you were deployed some, weren't you? Weren't you? What was the longest time you were away from your wife? About 10 months, 12 months. I don't know how. That's the pressure and the immense difficulty that's associated with that. That's just unbelievable to me. Thank you guys who are in the military. Thank you for serving so well and serving valiantly along with your family. You know, there's so much pressure that just comes with that assignment. And these folks, they have a depth to them. The rough edges have been worn out just because of where they've walked. They know stuff because they've seen stuff and they've experienced stuff. And look, listen, God's going to put things in your life. And if you don't embrace it, then you're not going to learn perseverance. And if you don't embrace it, you're going to miss the opportunity for maturity. The thing is, we're not praying for deliverance, we're praying for maturity. That's what our prayer is about, for maturity. And the chaos that you're walking through and the pressure that you're experiencing, it will be resolved. It'll be resolved. You don't see it. You're not giving high fives about it right now. It's going to be resolved. Look, God put something in your life for the press to turn on. We need to let it do its thing. I know there are prayers in this room right now. There are prayers in this room as God, get me past what I'm going through right now. Make me a better person. But you know what God's not going to do? He's not going to give you a hocus-pocus experience and totally deliver you right now from the stress you're going through or the pressure you're going through. That's not. Because God is looking for the maturity in our lives. I mean, I'm impressed by people like Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft. I'm impressed by Zuckerman, the head of Facebook, and what they've done and what they've accomplished. I mean, it's pretty amazing, right? You know, both of them left college, right? And they had this ability to put things together and they knew code and they were doing all those different things. They did a phenomenal thing. But what inspires me is the wounded warrior that's in the Invictus Games. What inspires me is Nelson Mandela, 26 years in jail. What inspires me is the person that has gone through this until the juice has been extracted. And the sweetness of what God is looking for in our life comes running out. Getting back, and we'll start wrapping things up right now. Back to 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9. We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. You see, God is the ultimate caretaker of the treasure inside you. He's going to take care of it. God's the caretaker of that. And it's because of his all-surpassing power, he's going to keep us, even when we're pressed, that we don't get crushed. He's going to keep us that when we're from despair, even though we're perplexed and we're asking all these questions, why? He's going to keep us from despair. He's going to keep us from feeling abandoned, even when we're being persecuted. And he's going to keep us from being destroyed, even when we get knocked down. This is our life. Your life is messy. My life is messy. Your life is chaotic. My life is chaotic. And with our chaotic and messy life and the frail clay pot that we are, God chooses to put us in the press so that the sweetness of his work comes out of us. I'll finish up with this. God uses clay pots that we are, and the struggles and the pressures that we just wish them to go away. And this is the reason why: to demonstrate his power in your life, to demonstrate his love in your life, to demonstrate his grace in your life, that others might come to him. You know, the ones that really inspire me, even more than the ones I told you, are you. When I hear about somebody in this church walk through something and come out on the other side, I rejoice. I'm so excited when someone in the house here walks through the valley of the shadow of death, and on the other side, he has testimonies that I feared no evil because you were with me. Your rod and your staff, they were comforting me. You can be an inspiration. Be the inspiration for other people that when you've gone through this and the sweetness of your life has been pressed out of you, that you have a testimony to share with everybody else. Make sure your story's told. Tell your stories. One of the things I wish we do around here more is give testimonies, because testimonies come with the pressure. Testimonies come when there's a pressing going on. Testimonies come when the juice drips out and God gets glory. We need testimonies. But if you want to inspire somebody, you want to have an impact on somebody else's life, share your story. People, and you know, the great thing about it is that you're chaotic, they're chaotic, you can fellowship in chaos. Right? Your life's a mess, your story's a mess, their story's a mess, you can share in that also. Where you come from? Man, I had a rough story. Well, share it. What's going on in your life? Oh, man, you wouldn't believe it. Share it, because you become real to people who have just had this weird sense of what reality is. It's okay to say my life's a mess. It's okay to say things are chaotic around the house. But it's also okay to realize through this whole thing, this is what's going to happen in your life. And when it's all said and done, look what's going to take place. Don't get caught up in your frailties and your mess. It's not the pot, but the contents that count. I began this sermon the other day, just thinking about chaos. And I developed this story, realizing that this is just my normal life I'm telling you about today. This is about how I do life, how we all do life. And I want to pray for those in a messy situation today. You know why? Because we've all got chaotic things happening. We're all in a mess. But some people are really being pressed right now. And sometimes we just want to hide. When it comes to this thing, the pressure's on us, we just want to hide, and we don't even want to come to church sometimes. We just want to sort of get tucked in a corner and just deal with it. Folks, Jesus is by your side in the press. And when it's all said and done, there's going to be a beautiful, juicy testimony for other people to see. Maybe the press is still being turned. Maybe it's happening right now. But let me pray for you. We're going to have the elders up here with their wives afterwards. If you want prayer, because you're in the press and you're in pressure. You don't know why, you don't know where, but what's going on in your life right now is you have so many questions because things are absolutely chaotic. Let us stand with you. Let us pray for you. Let us walk with you to see the testimony of your life come forward. Let's all bow our heads. Lord, it's true that our lives are a mess. It's true that there's chaos that happens in our life every day. But God, I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just help us to embrace the life that you've given us. Fully embrace the life you've given us. Because God, I believe that the treasure you put inside us, God, there's going to be something monumental. There is going to be something epic that comes out of being pressed and the pressure that we experience. Something great's gonna happen. It's gonna be something so great that we know it's not of us. It's something so great that we're gonna be able to see your all-surpassing power operating in our lives. It's gonna be something so great that one comes forth is a beautiful, juicy testimony to the glory of God. So we ask help, Lord. Help us walk through these things. Help us to see that the end result is maturity. But help us to also see that we can inspire other people by the mess that we walk through. God, use us to touch others. Use us with our testimony that we might share our journey with other people, that we might inspire others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.